Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. It's the 22nd of May, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joining C.J. Miller with Hat News Today, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. In the news today, the grain indemnity bill is now signed into law here in Indiana, and an update on trade talk progress between the United States and China, plus economic conditions in China. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. He calls for more clouds, but an end to the moisture, finally. And yesterday, more gains for the corn, soybean, and wheat markets. Steve Erdman will join us from Chicago with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, Member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Governor Braun signing the grain indemnity bill into law, and why it may take a while for the U.S. and China to work out a long-term trade deal. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Beacon Credit Union.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful planting season. I'm Danielle Aldrich, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union, committed to growing with you every step of the way.
Well, Indiana Governor Mike Braun has signed the grain indemnity bill into law Wednesday. Bruce Kettler, president and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana, tells Hoosier Ag Today the new law provides greater clarity for the Indiana Grain Buyers and Warehouse Licensing Agency in how to address a grain buyer's financial deficiencies.
What is the discretion for the agency, or what discretion does the agency not have when it comes to a notice of deficiency that is in place? And so that, again, was spelled out very clear, not only in the case of notice of deficiency, but if there need to be meetings.
He also says the new law will strengthen the financial commitments for Indiana's grain buyers.
Basically, with very, very, very few exceptions, licensees have to have audited or reviewed level financial statements that the agency used. Previously, there could be some exceptions made by the agency and it would just be financial information. We've strengthened that now. The law says that there's no exceptions that the agency has when it comes to the financial information and statements that they are able to get from a licensee.
Kettler adds that the foreclosure of Salamone Mills in Huntington County back in 2020 is ultimately what motivated Indiana's ag community to come together to help push this legislation across the finish line.
Because everybody realized that some changes did have to be made. You know, after the lawsuit in Huntington County, the judge's language on the lawsuit was pretty clear about what had to be done. So we just decided that we're going to pull in the same direction and get it done. And that's how Indiana agriculture works. And I'm proud to be able to say that that was the case with this as well.
The new law will officially take effect July 1st. Well, the ag markets continue to wait for significant trade deals with a number of different countries, not the least of which is China. Andy Eubank joins us now with an update.
Thanks, CJ. So what is happening in talks since the U.S. and China announced that 90-day tariff pause May 11th?
A lot of the talks are happening at lower levels, and that's not really the level at which you get a trade agreement.
That's Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. There are still tariffs in place, and those make it difficult for U.S. commodities to flow into China unless they allow a waiver based on needed imports.
Overall, I think China is going to be slow walking these talks. I do expect more talks to happen. The phase one trade agreement and Trump 1.0 took 13 face-to-face meetings. This one may not take as many meetings, but they may be strung out over a long period of time. I think President Xi Jinping currently sees some advantage to playing the long game here and trying to wait out President Trump, hoping that he won't have to give up anything in negotiations.
Suderman attributes that stance to China's bet that U.S. domestic pressure may cause the Trump administration trade war stance to fall apart. Another factor is Xi's immense popularity at home.
And that's because the message is controlled in China, and the Chinese people have been told that for years, the United States has been the country with the unfair trade practices, and that the United States is the bully in the world, and that the United States has declared war on China. So similar to the World War II, where Americans rallied around the cause of righteousness and were willing to sacrifice for the cause, Chinese people are willing to sacrifice because they see their leader, Xi Jinping, as the only world leader willing to stand up to the so-called bully.
The support for the Chinese leader allows him to buy time, and thus Suderman expects achieving an agreement could take quite some time. Suderman says retailers here are in a rush right now to restock with lowered tariffs. Chinese manufacturers have ramped up production, and reports say bookings from China to the United States since the May 11th announcement may have quadrupled. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We are still kind of cloudy here for your Thursday, but moisture is done. Low pressure has moved far enough to the east up the Lake Erie Basin and into western New York that we are not seeing any additional precipitation. But clouds are rotating around the backside of this low, and we are seeing significant cold air wanting to come in through the day today. The net result is I don't think we dry down exceptionally well today. We dry some, but not a lot. Evaporation rates are not even close to a maximum. North low continues to be the main story for tomorrow, so chilly air in here for all of Friday, and then we start to see winds shift a little bit more to the west and northwest, which will allow not as cool of air to come in. The other thing that we have going for us, today we don't see a lot of sunshine, but tomorrow we see significantly more, and Saturday more than that. That will help us warm quite nicely as well. Going through the middle of the holiday weekend, that is Sunday, watching a weather system come out of the Great Plains to the west, moving across southern Iowa, Missouri into Illinois. This will bring rain and thunderstorms to Indiana. I'm looking at very early on Sunday morning through probably Sunday afternoon. Rain totals anywhere from a quarter of an inch right up along the I-70 and slightly north of that line to maybe an inch to 2 inches down south. Strong to severe weather is possible, especially as you get into southwest Indiana and close to the Ohio River. I know this is big rains exactly where we don't necessarily want it, but it is coming. Plan on it. By the time we get to Monday, sunshine is back. We clear out and we are sunny, warm, and dry for the holiday, and we keep that pattern going through pretty much all of next week. A large part of the Hoosier State is rain-free from Monday right on through Saturday. We have a small sagging cold front that wants to come through next Sunday the 1st, but it's also trying to fall apart as it arrives here. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Once again, it was gains in corn, beans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Don't get stuck in the mud this spring. Make sure you're getting enough rest and coping with stress in healthy ways. Get more information at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis, and for that I turn to Steve Erdman, EFG Group, at the end of the Wednesday session. Three sessions in a row to start the week of gains in corn, soybeans, and wheat. And Steve, we probably shouldn't get too jubilant about that, but it is nice to see some support coming from a variety of areas for these markets as we start this week of trade.
I agree, Andy. It's nice to see corn up 6 to 8 cents. The bull spreads are still working, but we had the general rally today in the corn complex, bean complex, wheat complex. Everything was showing better numbers today. Beans ended up closing 9 to 12 cents higher, meal up a buck and a half, bean oil up 33 cents, wheat market up 4, 5, 6 cents. So it was a happy day at the Chicago Board of Trade. I think primarily we're reacting to the flooding that Argentina experienced over the weekend. The bid in the wheat market is coming from some concerns about Russian wheat prospects. We have seemed to, at least for the moment, solved our dryness problem in the Midwest. I think we've gotten some pretty nice general rains, 2 to 3 inches from the northern plains in the Dakotas all the way down in the Texas panhandle. In fact, they're complaining about it being a little bit too wet, as they try to cut some wheat for hay and also, you know, laying down their first cuttings of alfalfa. So it's really the first weather market that we've had this season, and I think we'll probably have two more of them. We typically try to kill the crop three times a growing season, and this is the time here into May and into June when you get some decent pricing opportunities. I would still view the market in this rally in that vein, that we should be looking at the resistance of D's corn, for example. It's up at 457. If we take that out, we might be able to put another 7 cents or so on the market. But the market's been trading really in a primarily a trading range between 457 on the high side, with one aberration in the middle of April that made it up to 469.5. If we can close above 457 now, then we got a shot at going up and testing those 465 to 470 highs, which once again need to be sold until you get a close technically over 469.5. And if that would happen, then you're looking at putting another 35 cents on the market and getting a $5 bill in front of these futures. But you've got to treat it that way one day at a time. And as again, I would strongly suggest that farmers be ready to look at laying off risk if the market gives them these marketing opportunities, because I think the general expectation from the trade is that we will see an even further increase in corn planted acres in our June report. So if we see an even greater production and you get people start talking about 2 billion bushel carryout again, then the market's going to get defensive. And as you saw from today's price action, the bean complex, it's kind of the same deal. You know, we had a nice rally over the last couple of days, but where's it going to go? I don't see it going anywhere without meal. And as we said, meal market closed a buck and a half higher, closed at 294.10 in July meal. So there's nothing to get excited about in the product market in the bean complex. So again, pricing opportunities in beans, technically, the market's trying to make it back up to the highs that we made a week ago, 1065.5. It's still maintaining its recent uptrend. You got your best support down around 1040, and then I'd say about 1020. And if we can eclipse the high we made last week of 1065 and a half, we should be able to put another 15 cents or so on the market, maybe make it up to 1080 to 1090. But again, as a hedger, I would look for those rallies as marketing opportunities.
Steve Erdman, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday, farm market review, higher corn, July 461. It ends up 6.5 cents. September 7.5 higher, 442 3/4. And December 455.5, a gain of 7 cents. 9 3/4 higher, July beans, 1062 3/4. August 1059, up 8 3/4. November 11 1/4 higher, 1052 1/4. And 3 1/4 up on July wheat, going to 549 1/4. The meat markets split the day. June live cattle, 214.15, up 97. June lean hogs, down a half dollar, 99.52. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.